Law Talk. Law Talk. That's the name of a legal call-in show in Montgomery, Alabama. You can imagine the kinds of questions that callers asked. Now, this did not actually happen, but imagine for a minute that the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court appeared on that program, and that someone calls in who knows there's a special guest attorney, a big shot, but doesn't really know who the big shot is, because all that matters to the caller is finding an authority to bless, I mean, to side with his opinion in his dispute. So the caller asked the most important jurist in the land the most important question in his life. My father has died and my brother hasn't given me my fair share according to the law. Make him do it. What's next? Is the man evil? No. But he is consumed by his expectations and by his excessive attention to what is his. The man in the gospel is also consumed, so much so that he has no awareness, that he's not speaking simply to a popular scribe who knows the ins and outs of Torah. I can assure you this, when you ask a prophet of God a question, especially a question shaped by your own ignorance or your own obsession, like the man in the gospel, hold on, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. The man who wants his rightful inheritance isn't evil, and let me be very clear about that. An inheritance, even a large one, wealth, is not bad or evil or wrong. It's not because it comes from God, and because God has told us in no uncertain terms how we are to live. Wealthy or poor, how we are to live. People who have more than their daily bread, and of course I'm not talking about food or just food. I'm talking about life, capital letters, life. Full, abundant, meaning-filled life. Those whose basic needs are met, those who are in a position to flourish and to be a blessing in the community, those who have their daily bread. We are in a perilous place because just as Jesus taught us in last week's gospel, how to pray for our Father, and just as Jesus taught us who truly is our neighbor and how we are to live among God's children. You remember the parable of the good enemy, or the good Samaritan, as you may call it? He taught us about hospitality with Martha and Mary and about sustaining life and saving the half-dead. All of that leads to this. We who have more than our daily bread are in a perilous place because God trusts us. God trusts us to choose the best ways to live in the world and to do them. When we begin our life in the morning, each day, when we begin it with the prayer that Jesus taught us. He guides our choices about how we treat one another. That prayer changes us and it redefines who truly is my neighbor, which child of God I may pass by because of their race, or their legal status, or their sexuality, or their gender, or their wretchedness. I mean wretchedness like the wretchedness of homeless children. Surely they are wretched, and do you recall Jesus' words at the end of that parable? Which of the three men traveling on the road to Jericho showed mercy to the half-dead man? When we choose to receive Jesus' teachings, when we encounter Jesus in our own lives and experience the meaning of God's loving kindness, then neither you nor I may continue to live in ignorance like the man who poses the trivial question to the Chief Justice, or like the man in today's parable who, having more than his daily bread, chooses to hoard God's gifts. God's gifts from God's creation. In the Eucharist, we offer these gifts from your creation. The man hoards in order to secure his life. And in his arrogance, Jesus names him a fool. Now, we think of fools as stupid people, but in the ancient world, that is not at all what foolishness is. Foolishness is arrogance. You and I are Easter people, Christian people. And as St. Paul wrote, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised. Or in today's vernacular, there is no longer gay or straight, in or out, white or black, saved or damned, because among us in the community of the church, we who live in and through Jesus Christ, we are made new creations who see the image of God in the other, the image of Christ in the stranger. At least that's what Jesus teaches us to do. That's how Jesus teaches us to be fully human, fully alive, fully healed, whole, blessings to one another. Blessings to one another in the church and in the world. Is this particular community, St. Paul's Church, is it important in your life? This particular community of Christians have been gathering here to worship and grow in faith for well over 270 years. I've only been here 1 year, but this place is important to me, and that's why I give a portion of my excess daily bread to help sustain this church, to help pay the monthly costs of this ministry. I wonder if you know what that cost is. Should we know what that cost is? Should everyone who participates in the life of this community contribute in some way to its maintenance? If you do not know the cost of this ministry, this church, ask yourself why. I didn't. I knew vaguely, but I didn't. So I asked the treasurer. She's over there. She knows. Ask a member of the vestry. Ask a member of the finance committee or the treasurer. Or George or me. If you do not know what it costs to sustain this inheritance that blesses so many with the bread of life, with love and care in times of joy and in times of despair, with mercy and with acceptance, with food and rent, with spiritual food and spiritual guidance, with prayer, with the sacraments. If you don't know, ask why. Do we have barns full of treasure to secure ourselves and our lives? If so, then just like the foolish rich man, you and I are fools, arrogant and ignorant of God's gifts. Rather, Let us appreciate God's gifts, the gift, which is life. Let us do acts of mercy now. Let us build up this church that we may bless one another in this community and in our greater community. Just as God blesses and heals when we follow the way of Jesus of Nazareth.